Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and makes all things new. Amen. So here we are at Advent. It's so amazing that we have come around again for the 2020th time to this time of waiting. As you think about Advent, what comes to mind for you?
Well, I mean, this idea or this expectation, this waiting that comes again and again and again every year, and it seems that nothing changes. Christ comes, we wait for Christ to come, Christ comes, and we still have, the world still is as it is. We still hurt each other, there's still violence, there's still war, there's still tough conversations with family. And so what does it mean to wait when things continue to go the same? I mean, I think of one of Wendell Berry's poem about cycles, and it's a poem titled The Song. And he goes, "Within the circles of our lives, we dance the circles of the years, the circles of the seasons within the circles of the years, the cycles of the moon within the circles of the seasons, the circles of our reasons within the cycles of the moon. Again, again, we come and go, changed, changing. Hands join, unjoin in love and fear, grief and joy. The circles turn, each giving into each, into all. Only music keeps us here, each by all the others held." So this idea that life goes in circles. So what does it mean to expect and to wait in this circular way of life?
I think that's a really hard question for us, particularly this year. You know, I've been doing this for 30 years. This is my probably 34th Advent in the ministry. And every year we come to this same season of watching and waiting. And when I think of watching and waiting, I think as if we're going to expect something new to happen. You know, that whatever had not worked out the year before or whatever had disappointed us will suddenly go away and something new will happen. But I think there's power in the poem that Wendell Berry wrote about the circular nature of all of this. But we have to realize how hard it is to continue to watch and wait. I mean, in some ways, we know what we're waiting for, right? I mean, the season of Advent is about waiting for the coming of Christ, for this new age, this new kingdom to begin. It's not just waiting for the baby to be born again. So often Advent becomes the 4 weeks of holding place right before Christmas comes. But that's not the waiting the text is talking about. It's a kind of expectant waiting. Almost as if we are being called into something and we're watching for it all the time. And we know what we're waiting for. We know that we're waiting for Christ to come again. But I was thinking to myself about that waiting, that really, you know, what does it mean to wait in this time? I mean, we know what we're waiting for, but I think the key is that not that we know just what we're waiting for Jesus to come again, but in the waiting, we are becoming known.
Yeah, I think about that a lot, about what it means to wait in action. And it's not a passive thing. It's not we wait and God does the work, or we wait. But what it means to wait and to wait actively.
Or even more than that, to wait and act at the same time, yeah. Right? That's the tricky part of the message of Advent. How do we wait and act? So right before the service, you and I were sitting over there. We were kind of had our feet out. And I said, well, this could be the theme of Advent. We're just going to relax and put our feet up, and just that could be the whole sermon. We're just going to wait for something to happen. But it seems to me that in the text, that waiting is incredibly poignant and active. And it isn't that something is happening just to us in the waiting, but that we are happening to the world in the waiting. What are some of the things that we are, how does our waiting look as active waiters, as people who are active in our waiting?
Well, I think about what you had just said, that in the waiting we are becoming known, or the waiting changes us somehow, that every time we learn to wait, we are unfolding, we are becoming something in the waiting. So I wonder about that.
Yeah, I do too, and I wonder if maybe we shift how we understand this coming of Jesus away from some cataclysmic one-time event sometime in the future. I've characterized it recently as, you know, Jesus arriving in the cosmic Uber and getting out with a suitcase full of all kinds of great things, and now all the hunger and the pain and the difficulty and COVID and the political situation will all be usurped by this moment that Jesus pops open the door in his Uber, which, by the way, would be a 1970 Volkswagen convertible.
I think he would be taking Lyft.
A Lyft. Oh, I kind of like that, right? It's a Lyft. Yeah, I don't think that's it. I think the kingdom continues to unfold even now through history. That's the beautiful circularity of the Wendell Berry poem, that there's a circularity around it in which every time we circle around, it's different. The world is different and we're different. And maybe God is different. Maybe God is constantly calling us to new ways of actively waiting. Well, that's a really different way to be a Christian, right? I think it does away with the idea that we just sit around and wait and do whatever we want to until Jesus comes again. It's sort of like when you live in a house with a whole bunch of college students and nobody wants to do the dishes. You're just hoping that at some point someone will get tired enough of it that someone will do the dishes, but they never do. The pile just gets higher and higher and higher until somebody's mother comes. Right? And in a way, we're sort of hoping Jesus will be the mother that will clean up the mess, but it turns out that both the joy and the mess are in us. And that part of our active waiting is to be a part of what it means to bring justice and hope and peace and love into the world. It's a different kind of waiting. It's a different way of thinking about Advent. Yeah. So how do we help each other? We had talked earlier in the week about how we keep each other awake. Could you talk a little bit about how that waiting might look for us?
I don't know that I have an answer, but I wonder if we hold each other accountable to, or just, I guess, maybe in the questions we ask of each other or the expectations we have of one another, or we invite each other into the awakeness that is mentioned in Mark, and that, the church is changing also, and so what does it mean as a community of faith to keep each other awake? How do we listen for where the church and the Spirit is moving, and how do we help each other stay awake?
Yeah, I love that, and maybe that should be our theme for Advent and for the year. We are experiencing cataclysmic changes, even within our own church. Come January, our bishop will hold some town meetings to talk about some pretty major changes in our national church, the church to which we belong, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. I wonder if part of what we can be thinking about, that text in Mark where four times we're reminded to keep alert, keep awake, And it's an active word that is continuous. And maybe this year especially with everything being so different and everything changed, going from live worship to online worship, from live work to working at home, distance learning, with all of those things happening, maybe this is a time where we can reach out to one another. Maybe what it means to keep awake and help each other keep awake is to live out that idea that the kingdom is unfolding in us, to give rise to compassion, to understand a little bit more and be a little better with one another, because there's so much going on as this new kingdom unfolds. But most of all, I think helping one another keep awake may be just the reminder daily that we are loved by God. And that in the midst of all of this, the advent of the kingdom of Jesus, that coming of the kingdom of Jesus, finds its root in that love that we have for one another and for God. So keep awake. Wake up!
Okay.
There we go. And we will celebrate the rest of this Advent and through the year as the kingdom unfolds through all of us. Amen.
Amen.